This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Oh, my Lord. So young, so pretty. Oh, what monster could have done this?
Bill's out there.
Steve should never have opened this place again. There's been too much trouble here. Did you know that a young boy drowned the year before those two others were killed? The counselors weren't paying any attention. They were making love while that young boy drowned. His name was Jason. I was working the day that it happened, preparing meals. Here, I was the cook. Jason should have been watched every minute. He wasn't a very good swimmer. We can go now, dear.
I think we should wait for Mr. Christie.
Oh, that's not necessary.
I don't understand.
Jason. You see, Jason was my son, and today is his birthday.
Where's Mr. Christie?
Oh, I couldn't let them open this place again. Could I? Not after what happened. Oh, my sweet, innocent Jason. My only child. Jason. You let him drown. You never paid any attention. Look what you did to him. Look what you did to him.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to this special presentation. Brought to you by PlaceToBeNation.com and the Place to Be Nation Pop feed. And yes, I am copywriting that, Andy Atherton. My name is Scott Criscolo. It is October 2019, but this is evergreen. You can listen to the show whenever you'd like, 20 years down the line. We're celebrating horror and everything about it. Hope you've enjoyed the pod blasts honoring the Universal Monsterverse. And of course, we'll have a big special horror pod coming up on Halloween. So you will... hopefully you look forward to that. That'll be coming up on Halloween night. If you're listening to this after Halloween, then you could listen to this one and that one at the same time, or one after the other. Now, when you think about, like, who are the most iconic horror characters of all time? I mentioned the Universal Monsterverse. I've done them on Pop Blast. It's Dracula, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, the Invisible Man, the Wolf, the Mummy, Creature from the Black Lagoon, the Blob. Leatherface. And he's an interesting one because when horror left North America in the late 50s, after Bela Lugosi died and Boris Karloff decided he didn't want to wear makeup anymore, and it went off to Europe where it got taken over, Hammer horror in England did a ton of killer Dracula, Frankenstein horror movies. Of course, the Trinity in Italy, Fulci, Bava, and Dario Argento did great schlocky, which you would call spaghetti horror, which had tons of screaming, creepy music, and lots of intestines and colons all over the floor. And then when we kind of got back into it here in North America in the late 60s, early 70s, obviously the movie that I always consider the movie that got us back on the map in North America was The Exorcist. I know there was Night of the Living Dead in 1969, but that was almost even campy. The Exorcist really put us on the map. And then the rest of most of the 70s and the main topic or the main theme of horror was demons and the devil, The Omen, and a ton of other movies like that, both in America and in England. But then there was Leatherface, this single kind of creepy $2 movie made by Tobe Hooper that came out in 1974. the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, brought a new type of genre, slasher, pure, unadulterated gut-cutting. And that was a good standalone, and then it kind of faded again for a few years. I mean, there wasn't a Leatherface sequel till what, 87, I think, or 88? But then in 1978, the slasher subgenre hit the gas pedal with Halloween, my favorite movie of all time, horror movie of all time. And of course, it had the iconic Michael Myers. But it didn't stop there, because what I call the Holy Trinity of slasher, because between 1978 and 1984, three iconic franchises debuted with three iconic characters, all of them created differently. Some may be villains, some may be anti-heroes. Tonight I decided, and some down the line, maybe next Halloween we'll focus on the other two. Tonight, this year I just wanted to focus on at least the one. Of the three, he's probably maybe the anti-hero more than the villain. An interesting thing to discuss. Tonight we're going to talk about the demon, or so, or the keeper, if you will, of Crystal Lake, Jason Voorhees. And the guy that I want on tonight to help me in this endeavor is a guy that I've never had on before. And he's actually making his debut with The Godfather. He is the host of a tremendous podcast on the Pop Feed. I'll let him explain it to you because it's very good. And I give him a lot of credit for coming on with me tonight because his Patriots are playing this evening. And I'm facing I'm facing a guy in fantasy football who's got three Pats going tonight, and I have a 48-point lead. So I don't care whether they win or lose, just I hope all three of them don't get any points. Let me bring him in, Mr. Jason Sherman. Jason, welcome. It's good to have you on.
And it's good to be here, Scott. Finally happy to be on a podcast with you.
I know, it's been way too long. Way too long. I know we have our fun little scrums in the chat, but I've always considered you a stand-up guy, and we do bleed for the Mets. We're gonna be doing a lot of bleeding tonight too.
Get hit against a tree at one point in the sleeping bag.
Yes, we're gonna swing each other with a sleeping. I just watched that one the other night, part 7. We're gonna talk about part 7 and all of the parts. Before we get into Jason specifically, what was your first exposure to horror films?
I saw Child's Play in theaters when I was 7. That was probably the first horror movie I ever saw. Mm. I got hooked on the Friday series, watching USA Up All Night with Ron DeShear.
Up All Night.
I'm pretty sure the first Friday 13th movie I saw was part 5 of all of them. That's the one I saw first.
The one didn't even have a minute.
I know, right? Should have been called Roy, the movie.
Roy. Roy strikes back as his weird son gets killed by Vic the Hatchet Man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was my first exposure to horror, and I've been hooked to Friday the 13th ever since.
Love Charlie.
And it's nothing to do with my name being Jason. Let's just
I know, right? That is true. That is pretty funny.
Neither here nor there.
That is pretty funny. Well, Chucky, that's a franchise we can delve into sometime in the future. I mean, there's so many great horror franchises.
Yeah.
The 80s, of course, not only – we'll get to Jason, of course, in a minute, but, of course, Freddy Krueger is the other third of the Holy Trinity. We can't forget the secondary ones like the Thin Man, the Phantasm franchise. Mm-hmm. That one was kind of hit or miss. I mean, Don Coscarelli is a great director. The first Phantasm, which came out in 1979, is a great movie. I'm sure you've seen it, right? Have you seen the first
Phantasm? I've only seen the first one, yeah.
Okay. Well, don't worry. 2 through 5, you're not missing much. I actually have them on a very inexpensive DVD set that I got at Best Buy for like $11, but it's got all 5 of them. Oh, but wow. The 2 through 5 are, I think actually 2 and 3 were in theaters. I think 4 and 5 were direct-to-DVD. Yeah. So nothing stellar. Of course, you have the Hellraiser franchise with the great Pinhead and the Cenobites. Clive Barker there. Very very cerebral, the Hellraiser franchise. But honestly, we have the Holy Trinity. In the name of the Michael and of the Jason and of the Holy Freddy, amen. I wanted to talk about Jason tonight because that's your guy. Yes. Down the line, we will discuss, maybe next October we'll get into, or maybe sometime during the year. Who cares? I could talk about a horror all 12 months. Doesn't faze me.
Doesn't have to be stuck to October.
Absolutely not. So Halloween came out in 1978, John Carpenter.
Yes.
On a shoestring budget of, garbage. But he made an epic film. 2 years later, a guy by the name of Sean Cunningham, who lived in Connecticut, by the way. Poor bastard.
That's true. Yeah.
worked with, now he was lucky. He got to work with
Wes Craven,
who did Last House on the Left. And he got backing from Paramount. So unlike the other two, which is funny, Wes Craven got to work with Sean Cunningham and Paramount, whereas 4 years later, Wes Craven and Bob Shea and their little, you know, fucking outhouse New Line,
yeah,
put out the first Nightmare. Sean Cunningham.
Don't they call New Line the house that Freddie built?
The house that Freddie built, because before that it was the house that nobody built.
Yeah, right. it was a shed.
Yeah, it was four walls and duct tape. Sean Cunningham, but we're not knocking Sean for that, not at all. He got, you know what? If Paramount wanted to fund something, hey, I'm not going to bite the hand that feeds me.
Oh, absolutely not.
So in 1980, Friday the 13th came out, and the premise was simple. You had a physically and probably mentally disabled boy at a camp drowning while all the counselors were thrown in each other deep in a shack somewhere. Well, he died. The mom got pissed, and chaos ensued. We shoot ahead several years, and a group of counselors go back to Crystal Lake and to try and reopen what they called Camp Blood. Mm. And in the end, we're not breaking any spoilers. If you haven't watched First Friday the 13th by now, I don't know why you're listening.
Yeah, it's older than me.
Yeah. the mother came back, whacked off more counselors, and in the end, Adrienne King, who played Alice, lopped off her head.
With the hairy knuckles coming up on the screen.
Yes, there. Yes, those were Tom Savini's hands, I think.
No, they were actually his assistant. I forgot his name, but it's in the documentary.
It is in the documentary. You're right. I thought it was Tom Savini. It was one of those guys.
Yeah, he has a weird name like Tavo or something.
Yeah, poor Betsy Palmer.
Yeah,
yeah, they probably think of Man Beast. Knuckles. Do you think it was an original concept at the time?
I mean, a lot of people say it was. I'm going to say, considering it was a woman doing it, that reveal at the end made it original. But the idea of slasher, I mean, there have been lesser known ones that were out before it. So they kind of piggybacked on an idea, and they just made it their own. And able to build upon that. I mean, I don't think Sean Cunningham had much to do with any of them beyond part one until, like, much later.
Right.
But the fact that they took that idea and built upon it to make this insanely huge franchise the way they have. I mean, is there any other slasher that has as many movies as Friday? I mean, Halloween may equal it at this point, but I don't think there's any others that come even close.
In terms of quantity?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Freddy had 7. Well,
8 if you count Freddy vs. Jason.
We'll get to that one. We'll get to that one later.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get to that one later. The WrestleMania of horror. we'll get to that one in a minute. But I would say almost Freddy probably had 6.5 because obviously he had the first 6 up to Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare. And Wes Craven's New Nightmare, which is a fantastic film, by the way.
Yeah, I love that movie.
It's almost like 6.5.
Well, are we counting the reboot?
No, we're not counting the reboot yet.
Okay.
I'm counting the original Robert Englund's. Okay. We'll get to the reboots later because that's a different thinking for me. I'm both including Jason's, but we'll get to those in a little bit. I think quantity wise, no. Friday the 13th is definitely the standard bearer for length. I mean, Halloween, you know, has more films, but it also it's got 3 timelines, which is kind of ridiculous.
I don't even want to. I thought there was more than 3.
Well, there's quickly we'll take a detour for a sec.
Yeah,
it goes 1 through 6.
Well, 3. 3 doesn't count.
Well, that's true. 1, 2, 4, 5, 6.
6.
Then there's 1, 2, H2O Resurrection.
Yep.
And then there's 1, and then the one last year.
Yeah, and then Rob Zombie's reboot.
And then Rob Zombie's his own, and then poor Season of the Witch kind of walks around like a lost kid in a department store. Which actually isn't a bad movie.
I didn't like it.
Really?
I like Tom Atkins in it, but I didn't like the movie.
It's a little. I mean, it's different. I think that the labeling of it kind of hurt them. But so the first Friday comes out, does pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, little known actor who was in movies already.
Yeah, he was actually in Animal House.
He was in Animal House, and that we are of course talking about the great Kevin Bacon, mm-hmm. Who of course had one of the cooler kills of that movie when he got an arrow shoved in up his throat, which
that
I thought
was awesome.
One of the better. What would you consider your favorite killing in the first one?
Yeah, the Kevin Bacon one.
Keep track on this throughout every movie.
Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just I remember watching the documentary and they said that they were trying to spray the blood out through like straw and it got stuck. And mm-hmm. like he like really had to blow, and that what created that like fluster of it coming out,
yeah.
Which was great.
It is. It was excellent. And I think the ending was really good with Alice battling Mrs. Voorhees, and in the end, mm-hmm. of course, she lops her head off. And maybe one of the first shock endings in horror history, next to maybe going back to Rosemary's Baby when you finally see Mia Farrow's kid and you go, what the fuck? and of course, that's when the Jason corpse, I guess you could say, grabs her out of the water.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. But of course, was that the ending or was that not the ending?
Yeah.
So the first one makes a ton of money. Of course, Paramount goes, fuck this. It's horror movies. We need a sequel. And Halloween 2 had come out the following year. So of course they wanted to take advantage of that and do Friday the 13th Part 2,
mm-hmm.
Starring the iconic Amy Steele, who I've seen in a ton of things. Of course, now what do you do? Well, now you have to make Jason the villain. This has to be about him because now he has to avenge his mother. You know, the mother avenged his death, and now he has to avenge hers. So he walks around with a bag on his head and takes care of the next wave of counselors. By the way, you know what we need to mention?
What's that?
We need to mention one of the more iconic characters in the history of the franchise, and that is, and he lasted
Crazy Ralph?
Crazy Ralph, who lasted a movie and a half,
yeah,
technically.
Crazy Ralph.
He only passed away. Played by Walt Gorney. He only passed away a few years ago. Oh, no. He passed away in 2004. Okay, so he did.
Yeah.
But he was 91.
Yeah, wow. How old was Betsy Palmer? She passed away a few years ago, too.
She passed away in Connecticut. She actually she passed away at a home in Danbury. She was 88. She died in 2015.
Yeah.
So,
Also on part two, one of the two Jasons passed away recently. There's two Jasons. Steve Dash passed away.
Oh, right. Yes, he did. Yeah. Yes, he did.
It's funny. He actually drove a cab down here in South Florida.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
That's funny.
He recently moved back up north, but before he moved back up north, he was driving. He was featured on the news.
That's funny. So Crazy Ralph did finally get his. He got garroted around a tree, which was actually
awesome.
Kind of cool. So the second one, still taken very seriously. I thought still very scary. Jason walking around with a bag over his head. He looked like John Merrick in The Elephant Man, which also a tremendous movie. And in the end, we find out something about Jason, his vulnerability. And this is where I wanted to talk to you all night, as we continue tonight, about the anti-hero. So in the climax, Ginny, played by Amy Steele, and Jason are in his little fucking whatever that is, little shack thing. It's what New Line Cinema's building looked like at that time, too. And she's trying to fuck with him. She puts on the disgusting sweater that Betsy Palmer had on 2 years earlier and tries to fuck with his head. And he's almost falling for it. Unfortunately, she moves and he sees the head on the table and figures it out. And that's that. But do you think that was an interesting turn?
Oh, absolutely.
The sure man. Do you think that was an interesting turn? Because now, like Michael Myers, as we've seen through the first two Halloweens, and of course in 82 season of The Witch did come out, But through that two-parter, there was no sympathy for Michael Myers. He was the boogeyman.
Yeah.
And as we'll see with Nightmare on Elm Street, there is no... I mean, the only reason that Freddy was cool was because every fucking director gave him great one-liners while all the heroes look like idiots. So that's an interesting twist we'll talk about later, too. But here, Jason is almost like a sympathetic soul. Like, he's killing these people because they took his mommy away from him. Mm-hmm. And all his mommy did was protect him. Mm-hmm. And now everybody's, like, fucking with him. So what do you think about that kind
of thing? Well, I also think there's a lot of like the bullying concept, which we'll find out about later in some of the other films, where he was like bullied as a kid because he didn't look like normal kids. He didn't, you know, he wasn't the most athletic. He was kind of deformed. So you kind of feel more for him than you would a Freddy or Michael. So there's that added element to, you know, kind of make him really kind of sympathetic in a way. Correct. I guess that's what draws me to him more than the others, because, you know, because mm-hmm. like I was picked on when I was a kid pretty badly. So I guess I was kind of drawn to that.
Mm. Yeah, it is a very relatable. It is a relatable situation, of course. That movie did very well. And then we shoot ahead a year later. I believe it was a year later.
Yeah, I think there were every year until 85.
Let's see.
No, 87. I don't think there was one in 87.
There wasn't one in 83, and no, there was not one in 87. So in August of 82, and then they stopped coming out and they never promoted it as a Halloween October movie. They always came out in the spring. So in August of 82, Friday the 13th Part 3 came out in 3D.
Yep.
3D was kind of a cool hook early on in the decade. Jaws 3 and 3D came out right around the same time. What's funny is the first time 3D was really used in cinema, you go to the mid-50s, and as I've been mentioning on my Universal MonsterVerse podblasts, The Creature from the Black Lagoon was in 3D. I remember as a kid going to Stop and Shop, and if you bought like a certain thing, I don't know, eggs or milk or something, you got a free pair of 3D sunglasses, 3D glasses. And then that night on TV 38, the movie loft, you could watch the movie in 3D at home. It was that old school, you know, red side, blue side 3D.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you miss when times were simple? Well, you're younger than me, so not, but.
I remember that. Come on now.
Yeah.
Freddy's dead.
Freddy's dead. Yes, yeah. Freddy. Yeah, that's right. At least the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Actually, the box set, the DVD box set, actually had 3D glasses in them.
Yes, it did. I had that.
Yeah, it's very cool. I still have. That's one of the best. One of the most. They call it like one of the most. I don't say legendary. One of the first well-sold box sets. That was out in 1999. That Freddy box set. Isn't that crazy? I got the Blu-rays recently.
Yeah, me too. I got the Friday one first, obviously, because I'm a Friday guy.
Well, yeah.
The second one I got was Nightmare. Yep. But now I've replaced them now with the Blu-ray sets.
Yep, those, I had the Friday one too. Oh,
we didn't mention real quick our favorite kill in part 2.
Oh, what was your favorite kill in part 2? Yeah, that's right. What was your favorite kill in part 2?
The wheelchair.
I was about to say the wheelchair too, and he was such a nice guy.
Yeah.
Poor bastard. He was gonna get like the little nerdy girl to bang him, you know.
That scene of him just flying backwards down the stairs. Oof.
That's rough. Yeah. We're about to get one of the most memorable deaths in this franchise history here in Friday the 13th in 3D. The movie starts again. Jason's not in a – I don't think he's in the – I think he's just faceless. I think he's maskless. We just never see a mask.
Correct.
I think it's pretty much first person through most of the movie until he takes arguably one of the most memorable characters in the history of the franchise. Mm-hmm. Shelly's hockey mask. Poor Shelly. Shelly just wanted to get laid. Didn't fly. Poor guy. And he kills Shelly. He grabs the hockey mask. And you have to. And if you want to buy it in stores, you want to buy it online, remember, it's got to have the red triangle on it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get the blue one. We all know what the blue one stands for.
We'll get there.
And he walks out of the dock house. And the girl that Shelly was trying to bang is standing at the boat, and Jason turns and fires a harpoon right into her fucking eye socket.
Yep.
And that was one of the most memorable. That's probably the best kill in
you
that movie.
You think so?
I like it. Why? What's yours?
I like the eye popping out.
Oh, when he squeezed the guy's head. Yeah, that was pretty good too. I'm gonna stick with the harpoon only because it's just so memorable because it was technically the first hockey mask death.
I have a bit of a hot take here.
Yes.
All right. I have one later on, which I have a lot of anger towards.
Sure.
But out of like the original Paramount films,
mm-hmm.
this is my bottom one.
Really?
Yeah.
I
just think the watching it now, I mean, back then I'm sure it was different, but like watching it now, I think the 3D aspect of it kind of cheapens it.
Interesting. Okay.
Like with the yo-yo and the
yo-yo. Yeah. Well, when you have to. Didn't they say that in the Crystal Lake documentary that it got annoying? First of all, two things. Number one, the camera itself was so fucking huge that lumbering it around was a bitch. And then like the thing broke or it was a pain in the ass. And then they were trying to fill in because Frank Mancuso kept telling them, look, you're going to have to put in some cheap parlor tricks scenes. So you had the two of them juggling and then the stickball bat and all that other fucking nonsense. Because you needed to have some 3D stuff or else people are going to be like, what the fuck am I wearing these for besides the harpoon of the eyeball? So, which is pretty cool. That had a pretty good ending. He gets the axe in the head, and supposedly dies, It's always supposedly at the foot of the barn because, you know, money, money, money.
Yeah.
So by this point, as we talk about the landscape of the three franchises, Jason, Halloween takes a break because Season of the Witch did bomb. And then they spent the next 5 years, you know, fucking around and dealing with money issues. And Carpenter got screwed over. Not Asuka, the other one, the other guy. I can't think of his name now. I'm brain farting. So there was money issues there and legal issues, and which seemed to always plague the Halloween franchise for two decades. So that was a breather. We don't talk about Michael Myers for another 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
The following year, we do get the the original Nightmare on Elm Street, Wes Craven's first.
So good.
It is so good. I watched it. I watched part four last night. But
I love that one. That's probably my favorite one, actually.
Are you really?
I love Alice.
A good debate you and I have because I think four and five are fucking horrible. But that's
I hate five. I hate five, but I love four.
All right, we'll have to talk about that.
I love Alice.
I like Alice. I just thought the acting was weak. We'll get to that another day. That's another discussion for another day.
Yeah.
Come on, you've listened to enough Place to Be podcast. Don't get me on the tangents, or else this show will be 8 hours. particularly when we talk horror, we can go off so many fucking pathways.
Oh, God, especially slasher stuff.
Oof. Absolutely. But also that same year is what many consider the best of the sequels.
Mm-hmm.
Friday the 13th, The Final Chapter, because everyone thought it was The Final Chapter.
Right.
great movie. Good back and forth, between the family and Jason going after. I mean, that's a pretty good core group of counselors in that one. You had the great Crispin Glover and his awesome. That might be my favorite death. Where's the corkscrew? He gets a corkscrew in the hand.
Hey Ted,
where's the corkscrew? Meanwhile, he's smoking weed, watching snuff films.
Yeah.
Lawrence Monassin. I see him. He's another one of those guys that's in like 1,000 different things in the '80s.
Yeah. I've heard he's a big dick.
What's that?
I heard he's a dick.
Oh, I'm sure he is. He sounded like one on the documentary. He sounded like a dick. So,
yeah, that's true.
And then Crispin Glover gets a fucking machete in the eye, in the half the face, which I thought was kind of cool.
Of course, the corkscrew ends up in his hand first.
Yeah, exactly. Dad, where's the corkscrew? Wonk. Turns his head. Wonk.
Oh, I love it.
Love a good machete. That was Jason's usually his weapon of choice. Freddy, of course, had his glove, and Michael usually just used a straight up kitchen knife or whatever sharp thing he could muster. Then of course we get the big climax at the end when Jason's attacking the sister of the Jarvis family, and then down the stairs comes Tommy Jarvis, played by iconic child actor Corey Feldman, looking like Jason
coming down the stairs. He's looking like Billy Corgan. Yes, that is a recycled joke. that I did use on my appearance on Freak Out Drive-In with the wonderful Jennifer Smith, reviewing this very movie.
That is correct. Yes, check that out on the pop feed. Very good, by the way. I listened to it; it was very good. And he, you know, he looks at Jason, and then of course, one of my favorite Jason deaths is when he just leans into the knife and it just goes through his eyeball and out his the back of his head. Mm-hmm, that was kind of a cool death. And then, of course, Tommy flips the fuck out and just goes, die, die, hacking the fucking crap out of him. And then when they're hugging in the hospital at the end, up goes Tommy's eyes. And what did that mean? Now, when you saw that for the first time, obviously you were kind of looking back.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask this question.
I saw this much later.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let me ask it this way then. Because I've been looking for putting down my questions in the format for this evening. I've been looking forward to asking you this. Could the series have ended right here?
Yeah, it could have. It could have ended here and spun off in a different way, with Tommy being taking the mantle. It could have.
Right.
What they did, I mean, part five is a very, very controversial topic. You either love it or you hate it. I didn't have a problem with part five. We'll get there, but I think what they did is that they realized that Jason is the draw. So they needed to bring him back.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yep.
But funny story, you know, that whole part we were talking about with the die. I saw part six before I saw part four. So in the beginning of part six, when he's having those flashbacks in his head, I'm like, I had no idea what was going on. Like, what is he hearing? So when I finally saw this one, where it's him as a different actor playing Tommy, doing the scene, I'm like, that all makes sense. Okay.
Right. Exactly. I would have been happy with the series ending there, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But we still had Halloween on hiatus. And Freddy came back in 1985, the following year, with Freddy's Revenge, which is one of the strangest of the all three franchises combined.
Yes, a little bit.
We won't get into the details of that one. That's a whole other rabbit hole. I don't really want to crawl down because you and I won't get out of it. So we have to talk about that one another day. Boy. So we come back the following year, less than a year, March 22nd, 1985, we get the one you just mentioned, Friday the 13th, Part 5, A New Beginning. Now, Part 3 did very well money-wise, and the final chapter did very well money-wise. One thing about the Friday movies, if you relate it to the budget,
they all made bank.
Always made bank.
Yeah.
That was undisputed. Now, the budgets were low, so I don't say expectations were low, but they didn't have to make, fucking Endgame or Rise of Skywalker money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They just had to make enough to make a profit.
Exactly.
Which they did. However, they take a turn here, and we get a story of Tommy Jarvis as a grown man, or, young adult, I guess. Obviously, he has issues.
A little bit.
He's fucked in the head. The beginning, of course, he has a nightmare, funny there, about Jason coming back from the dead. Incidentally, I'm not sure if you know this or not, Mr. Sherman, but do you know why? Well, you watched the documentary, so you probably know already. We'll let the listeners kind of let it hang in the wind. Why was Corey Feldman not in the second one long enough?
Because there was another film he was involved in called The Goonies.
What's funny is, you want to talk about a busy 1984 for him. He shot The Final Chapter and Gremlins in 1984.
Yep.
And then he came back.
In the 80s.
Yeah. And then he came back for a day. He had a day between shoots of The Goonies to do the opening scene from part five.
I think that was done in someone's backyard or something.
I think it was. Somebody brought a mobile camera set to the Goonies set, and they took like a side of a yard or some shit. I don't know. Anyway, that's what they did.
Real quick, Scott.
Yeah.
I didn't get to mention my favorite kill from part four.
Oh, that's right. What did I say?
It is Crispin Glover.
Yep.
But I want to give honorable mention to the pretty boy whose face got crushed in the shower.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
His body's like hanging out the fucking shower door with blood just oozing down.
And the whole, hey, Paulie, you dropped my soap.
Yeah.
Sure. Because I say that to friends all the time. Anyway.
Oh, my God. Utterly ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous.
Back to part five.
Yes. So we get to A New Beginning, and Tommy Jarvis is at a group home.
Yes.
And
interesting cast, this one. Interesting.
Yes, very interesting cast. Interesting way to shoot this one, too.
Yeah.
Danny Steinman, the director. And when I watched this one again recently, I actually put the commentary on, and he sounds like a mob boss. If you ever listen to Danny Steinman, you have the DVDs, right? You have the Blu-rays, you said, right?
I have the Blu-rays, yeah.
Next time you're in the mood, throw on this one and listen to the commentary.
Okay.
It's him. It's the director, Danny Steinman, the actor that plays John Shepard, who plays Tommy Jarvis, and Savar Ross and Dudley.
Okay. Yeah. Dudley. Yeah. Okay.
You have to. It's amazing.
The worst Tommy Jarvis to me is this one. I didn't like him at all.
Well, he was about as exciting as, you know, a coaster. But
yeah, pretty much.
So he goes into in this group home, and in the beginning you have of all these kids that are,
special,
troubled.
Special needs.
You have Joey. Special. Yeah. I guess that's diplomatic. But it well done. Joey walking around, you know, with his candy bar in his hand, and he's getting pissed off. And Vic, the short-tempered, get angry very quickly, kind of like the Scott Griscolo of the home, looks up and decides, fuck this shit, and fucking hacks poor Joey into pieces.
Yep.
Just because he wouldn't share his discussion.
Interesting, interesting opening.
Yeah, very interesting. And so the two ambulance guys come and take Joey's pieces away.
And then, I like the way you say that.
Yeah, Joey's pieces away. And a murderer, a presumably Jason, you would think, starts hacking people off throughout the film. I noticed immediately when I saw it the first time that the hockey mask was not with one red triangle, but with three blue triangles.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that really made a difference, but we're like, okay, interesting.
You didn't know at the time it was. But also, and you look back now, when Tommy Jarvis had those flashes, he saw in his flashes the real Jason.
Correct. Yes. So he was confused. And
they also kept it kind of ambiguous if it may have been him doing it.
That is correct as well. Because, you know, he had the mask hidden in the drawer, as we saw later on in the film. In the end, it turns out that as Jason mentioned earlier, it was not Jason Voorhees. It was Roy, one of the two ambulance guys, Roy, who turned out was Joey's father, which is fucking weird.
Yeah.
His death is pretty cool. He falls on that like fucking spike tractor thingamajig.
Yeah, that was kind of awesome.
Just kind of awesome. Now, Jason,
actually,
good.
I was going to say, there's a lot of good deaths in this movie.
There is.
That's why I think it's very, like, kind of underrated as a Friday movie.
There's also, like, 80 pairs of tits in this movie, too.
Oh, well, hold on now. If I may, just right, mention five. This actress, Deborah Voorhees.
Deborah, yes!
With probably the best rack in any of these films.
Yes, Tina, she was the, girl with the dark hair.
Yes.
So there's three major pairs of boobs in this movie, which is about two pairs more than you normally see. Usually, on average, in a Friday the 13th, you usually see maybe one naked set.
Correct.
I don't think you saw one in the original.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. There was definitely one pair in the second one, and I think there was one pair in each of the next three.
Yeah.
But this one, you had Tina, who was the hot brunette chick, who's, I mean, they're banging like in the middle of the day on an open blanket, like in an open setting. It's like, it would be where all you needed was John Holmes and Ron Jeremy, and this movie could have gone completely differently. And Jason kills both of them. He kills the guy, and then he fucking jabs the thing into the hot chick's eyes.
Yep,
it's kind of cool.
That was kind of awesome. That's probably my favorite kill of the movie too.
I have to say you might be right. I think I have to say that's a pretty good kill too. If I'm trying to think, yeah.
Although, honorable mention. My favorite character in the movie was the girl Violet.
Yes, I like
that. She was adorable.
Yep.
And if they kept her original kill in the movie, that probably would have been my favorite. well,
I'm trying to remember now.
The knife entered somewhere.
Ah, yes, yes. Is that a thing here?
There's a picture. There's like a screenshot of like a picture of like the makeup, not makeup. Like I guess I guess makeup around there.
Yeah, there. By the way, I want to clarify. Roy's hockey mask had two blue angles, not three. There was not one. Right? There was one on each cheek.
Yeah.
There was not one on the forehead. Jason's is on the forehead.
Correct.
Okay. So. Boob set number two was the hot waitress in the diner who was waiting for Eddie, who, you know, had bad hair and was doing more blow than fucking Diego Maradona. And
he was a fun character, though. I thought he was funny.
He was a cool guy wannabe who had a hot girlfriend who had another, who had a very nice set herself. And he's sitting there doing like 50 bumps of coke. Jason whacks both of them too. Mm-hmm. Then the third pair was the girl. Robin. I think it was Robin.
What was her deal? Why was she there? She seemed very.
Yeah, she was like the other innocent one.
Yeah.
Like the mentally slow. I don't know how to say it nicely. The character,
stuttering guy.
The stuttering guy kind of wanted to hook up with her, and you know, she of course cruelly rebuffed him.
Yeah, a little bit.
She went upstairs, got dressed. She was, you know, she was in good shape. Her rack was adequate, and she ends up getting killed in the bunk.
Yes.
Three sets of boobs in that movie, which is unprecedented. And the kills were like a hardcore
porn director, wasn't he?
Danny Steinman? I think he was. Well, if you listen to the commentary, I'm telling you, for those that have the Blu-ray set, throw on this sequel and put on the commentary with him, John Shepard, and Shavar Ross, who of course plays Dudley. Well, he plays Dudley on Different Strokes. He plays, his name is, why am I blanking? Reggie.
Okay. Reggie Reckless.
Reggie Reckless. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to, it's amazing. Cause if you've seen the movie 1,000 times, you don't really care about the dialogue. You have to put on the commentary. It's utterly, and Danny Steinman literally sounds like either a mob boss or he should have been in Boogie Nights. So it doesn't really surprise me that episode 5 went down this path.
Yeah.
Now, as expected, no Jason, no dinero. Ticket sales bombed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, should they have stopped, or were they smart to go, well, we need to get the money back, let's bring back Jason? Or should they have just not done it?
Well, did it, like, it made its budget. It made a little more back. It just didn't do as well, right?
The budget was $2.2 million. It made $2 million. So it made money.
Yeah.
But it didn't. Like, for instance, the final – let's see, part three, since we are comparing budgets here, the budget was 2.2 and it made 36.7, so it made a pretty good hunk.
Mm-hmm.
The final chapter had a budget of 2.6 million and it made 33, also a ton. This one, A New Beginning, had a budget of 2.2 and it made 22 million, so it only made about – just under 20. So it definitely was about $10 million loss, probably roughly $8 million loss from the previous episodes, the two sequels. In your opinion, should they have stopped and realized, all right, we hit the line, or were they smart to go again?
I mean, honestly, without my bias towards the later films put in play, they probably should have stopped. But if they didn't, would we have gotten a Freddy vs. Jason?
That is quite true. Because meanwhile, while these were going on in this part of the 80s, in 1987...
Sounds right.
Dream Warriors came out, Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3, which was awesome.
Yeah, it was good.
Excellent film.
Actually, you got to see that in theaters a little over a year ago.
Oh, the anniversary?
Well, down here, there's a... 2015? It was last year. There's a horror company that does... there's a horror film festival that does down here. And every month they do like different screenings of different horror films.
Oh, that's awesome.
They did, if I'm not mistaken, that was directed by Chuck Russell, right?
The third one? Yes.
Okay. So what they did was on one day of the horror festival, they had three movies I went to see. There was a documentary on Monster Squad.
Oh, love that movie. Wolfman's
Great. Yeah, I met the kid. I forgot his name. And also they had The Blob, which was also directed by Chuck Russell, the 80s version, and Nightmare 3, all in one day, with the director in attendance, too, so I got to meet him, too. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, that is very cool.
Yeah. Like, next month, they're showing, we're talking about it earlier, Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2. Because the guy who played Jesse.
David.
Mark Patton.
Mark Patton.
He has a documentary on making of the movie coming out that's going to be screened beforehand called Scream Queen. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that. Exactly.
Yeah, but he's going to be in attendance too, so they're going to be showing the documentary and part two back to back. In Fort Lauderdale, if you're in the South Florida area. Popcorn Frights, they do really good stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they just had the film festival. I didn't get to go to any of the films this year, but the film festival was in August. They showed the CM Punk horror movie. Girl on the Third Floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that. Maybe it's on YouTube. I'd love to see where that is.
Anyway. Sorry about that.
That was the most I would ever talk about Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2 that I ever thought I would talk about on a podcast. That goes down another – again, that's another rabbit hole. So in 1986, Paramount and Frank Mancuso decide, well, if we're going to keep going, we can't do all this fucking around. So instead of the beginning of Part 5 where Jason is in a dream sequence of coming back to life, let's really bring him back to life. So we get the new actor that plays Tommy, which is Tom Matthews.
My favorite.
And Horshack from Welcome Back, God, Ron Paolillo. Yeah. And they accidentally put a bolt of lightning on a lightning rod in his chest, and Jason's maggot-filled body comes out. And now Jason's not just a killer. He's now like supernaturally fucking immortal or whatever the hell it is.
Zombie.
He's pretty much a zombie. Nobody ever really acknowledges that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a zombie in essence. That's actually a good way to put it. And more deaths ensue. And in the end, and one of my favorite sound effects, before we get to favorite deaths, one of my favorite sound effects is at the end, when Jason's under the water and they're putting the rowboat over him, and you hear the noise when the blade goes into his neck and like all the like chunky pieces come floating up into the water. That's kind of awesome, actually.
I love this movie.
Yeah, I do too.
Hands down, my favorite of the franchise. It was a different one for a long time, but this one is hands down my the comedy in it. It's just so perfect.
Really
the director
is.
Of this really, really did a wonderful job with many different things.
Tom McLaughlin was interesting. Yes.
I loved Tom Matthews as Tommy Jarvis. He's hands down my favorite Tommy Jarvis. As a matter of fact, that Tommy Jarvis appears in the Friday the 13th video game, if you've ever played that. That
yes,
character
I did.
Appears. Yep. Oh, he's awesome. The final girl I love, she's Hachimachi, yes. as they say.
Hachimachi. I wonder who came up with that. very Hachimachi, yes. And a good story, actually. It was not actually a bad story. They rebooted well. Now, it made pretty good money. Let's see. Well,
I don't think it did.
budget was
$3 million. I think it's it.
Yeah, budget was $3 million and it made 19.4. So yeah. It didn't make a shit ton, but it did okay.
Like the paintballers, I love the one deputy who doesn't get killed, Rick Cologne.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Wherever the red dot goes, you bang.
Yep. And the way the sheriff died when he was just kind of folded backwards.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Yeah, that might be pretty close to my favorite too.
Although I would have liked to see how the one counselor died in the cabin, where you walk in and it's just painted red. You don't see what happens to her.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You see her get flung through a window, but besides that, you don't see what happens inside there.
Correct. You are correct.
There's so many good things I want to say about, like, Tony Goldwyn.
Yes, a very young Tony Goldwyn. He bites it.
Oh, he was great.
That's the product placement. Isn't that the one where the American Express card's floating in the butt puddle?
Yep. Yeah, it was the director's wife.
Yeah. Yes, it was the director's wife, yeah.
John Travolta's nephew.
Oh yeah,
Court with the knife through the skull in the RV. Court. Yep. Court. The Alice Cooper song.
Yes. This was also Kane Hodder's first. Kane Hodder's first.
No.
He did six. No, he did do six. You're right.
Yeah, C.J. Graham.
Yes.
There was another guy who was hired to play Jason. And, like, the producer or, like, the studio people saw the dailies, and they're like, why is this guy so fat? So he got fired, and C.J. Graham got fired.
Yep. He did the sixth one, and then Kane Hodder. Or he did the fifth one, and then, I'm sorry, he did the sixth one, and then Kane Hodder did this one, which was his first one. Now.
Yes.
We go to 1988. Actually, you know what, Jason Sherman? We're going to take a break. We've been going for almost 50 minutes. We're going to take a break. Mm-hmm. Myself, Scott Criscolo, Jason Sherman, we are talking Friday the 13th, Crystal Lake Memories, the franchise as a whole, and its impact on horror and pop culture in our history and in our lives, our horror fan lives. When we return, we will continue on and talk about 1988, which was a super huge year in horror, as was 1989, actually. The tail end of the decade was a big deal. And how the 90s would shape for Mr. Voorhees.
Mm.
So don't have any sex yet. Don't do any blow with Eddie. And we'll be back right after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. The Place to Be Nation wrestling feed. We dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.placetobenation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at Bigelow34.proboards.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
I don't want to scare anyone, but I'm going to give it to you straight about Jason. His body was never recovered from the lake after he drowned. And if you listen to the old timers in town, they'll tell you he's still out there. Some sort of demented creature. Surviving in the wilderness. Full grown by now. Stalking. Stealing what he needs, living off wild animals and vegetation. Some folks claim they've even seen him. Right in this area. The girl who survived that night at Camp Blood, that Friday the 13th, she claimed she saw him. She disappeared 2 months later. Vanished. Blood was everywhere. No one knows what happened to her. Legend has it that Jason saw his mother beheaded that night, and that he took his revenge. A revenge that he'll continue to seek if anyone ever enters his wilderness again. And by now, I guess you all know, we're the first to return here. 5 years. 5 long years he's been dormant. And he's hungry. Jason's out there. Watching. Always on the prowl for intruders. Waiting to kill. Waiting to devour. Thirsty for young blood.
Welcome back, Place to Be Nation, to this special presentation on the Place to Be Nation pop feed, Crystal Lake Memories, the legacy of Friday the 13th. I am Scott Criscola with my very special guest, Jason Sherman, making his premiere with me. It's been a lot of fun so far. I'm glad you're able to come on.
I'm enjoying the conversation.
It's been excellent. Maybe eventually you'll be on a house show on the other feed. We'll see. Or maybe you'll be on, I don't know, what else does he host?
Well,
Maybe Aaron and him will let you on Wrestling War, or on No Holds Barred, who knows?
Well, I did talk to Scott, because I did attend Royal Rumble 1991.
Oh, that's right, you did.
Yes. Something. My very first live show.
Something to think about, okay. But that's the other feet. You can't cross the hallway when I'm here. You know, you own that side of the hallway. Anyway, let's talk about the great stuff on this feed and others on the Police Be Nation networks. We'll start on the pop feed. We have a bunch of great weekly shows. The Hard Traveling Fanboys continue their annual Walking Dead month. Jennifer Smith joined them as they counted down the worst episodes in the show's history.
Do you watch Walking Dead, Scott?
I got halfway through season two when they were in that house, Herschel's house, and I'm like, what's with all this fucking soap opera bullshit? Can I see some zombies, please? I felt like five straight episodes, there was like one zombie. I'm like, I thought the whole
season
point
two is hard to get through.
People get killed. Instead, the guy's banging the chick in the drugstore, and Herschel's pissed at what's his face, and everybody hates Shane. And I'm like, what is this? So I quit.
Oh man, you threw the towel in way too early.
And I haven't done it since. That's why I'm very proud of myself that I watched all of Gotham, because a lot of people bailed after season one, and I'm glad I didn't, because the show got unbelievably better as it went along. So,
well, I'm going to say season two of Walking Dead is a very hard to get through season. That season three is whew. Okay.
Yeah. So when it officially ends, I'll probably go back. I'll probably hop in on it. As I mentioned, I have done a few pod blasts commemorating the Universal Monsterverse. My most recent one, The Wolfman, Lon Chaney Jr. from 1941. DC For You continues DC Comics' best horror offerings with a review of 2019's Swamp Thing pilot, which then left.
Real quick, Scott?
Yes.
Swamp Thing, the character of Swamp Thing, happens to be played by Derek Mears.
Wasn't he?
He was Jason in the reboot.
The reboot. Yeah, I thought so. Okay.
I met him, one of the best people I've ever met in my life.
Excellent. Excellent. Yes, I'm going to a horror con this weekend. I'll talk about it.
Let's talk about it
at the end of the program. This week in the NFL hits weekly. Roger and Mr. D'Amato recap the last set of games and preview the upcoming weekend's batch, including this shit show of a Monday night game.
That's go going Pats. On at the moment.
Yeah, as my fantasy week goes up in smoke, not only did I lose my quarterback to an injury, but I'm going to lose because this guy had like eight Patriots on his team. Siblings Kevin and Mary host the Brother Sister Rewatch podcast on episode 21. They bring you The Office season 3, episodes 13 and 14. Of course, another great show here on the feed is The Year in Pop. Myself, Andy Atherton, the Doctor, Dr. J. George Roblino, and John D'Amato. We did 1978, and 1979 will be coming up in the next few weeks, so stay tuned. Pop Goes the Movies, the long-awaited sequel, Zombieland Double Tap. Andy Atherton and Jennifer Smith did that. The NBA team is back. Adam and Andrew provide a slew of team previews for the upcoming NBA regular season. Go Lakers. On our newest show, Diamond Conversations, the premiere episode features an interview with the 2006 first-round pick of the San Diego Padres, Matt Antonelli. With the greatest song of the 80s tournament now in the rearview mirror, congratulations, Guns N' Roses, our next tournament will be starting soon, the greatest sitcom of all time. So check that out. Make sure to like the tournament page so you don't miss a single matchup when we get started. Check out a brand-new podcast feed brought to you by our very own alumni here of the alumnus of the Pop Feed, Miss Jennifer Smith. The Jenny Position, Podbean, iTunes, your favorite podcatcher, Geek and Sassy, Talk of Pop, Freak Out Drive-In will be there, as well as lots of great new content. For the month of October, Place to Be Nation is holding our first annual Halloween Movie Challenge. We're giving you suggestions on what movies you should watch leading up to All Hallows Eve. When you do, go on social media, let us know by using the hashtag PTBN Halloween Movie Challenge. But don't stop there. Every time you watch a scary or silly horror movie or special, let us know. We'll add it to the list. Now we'll go across the hall to the feed that I purvey, and that is the PTBN Wrestling feed, the newest Place to Be podcast. JR and I had Todd Weber on. We kicked off a new decade of pay-per-views with the 1990 Royal Rumble, which was also near you, Mr. Sherman, at the Arena in Orlando.
I've been there a few times.
Yeah. On the latest Extreme Three-Way Dance, JR, John, and Jenny continue their ECW adventure with three episodes of Hardcore TV from May 1994. And then I think they just did When Worlds Collide as well. Mm-hmm. On the last episode of the main event, myself, Nate, and Steve welcome Jordan Duncan. We talked about the 2 weeks of programming that took place. We talked, of course, WWE, AEW, Hell in a Cell, all the great matches going on. And we'll have a new episode coming up later this week as well, episode 136. So stay tuned for that. It's October Guest Fest on Row 1, Seat 1, as Ben invites a slew of guests, including Excite Wrestling and the best independent wrestlers on the circuit. The latest episode of Talkin' WCW, Jenny, Tim, and Greg discussing the man they call Sting as they delve into three distinct eras of the icon's illustrious WCW career.
That was excellent.
Yes, please. The whole series is good. Yeah. They got me to like the Steiner Brothers because I used to fucking hate them. But their episode of the Steiner Brothers got me to like them. So please listen. Jenny, Tim, and Greg are fantastic. Don't forget to check out placebination.com each and every day. We have new voices, fresh takes, bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture. We have veteran columns like Glenn Butler and his weekly walk around the web. Myself and Logan Crosland have our campus hot takes every Wednesday afternoon at 4 o'clock. You'll get our newest hot takes, including this week. Next week is the first college playoff ranking, so stay tuned for that next week, too. We will have a fresh column this week. If you're doing online shopping over at Amazon, we're getting close to the holidays, Mr. Sherman. Yes. Be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage or use placetobenation.com/Amazon, and it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. It's just a piece of your regular purchase. Get in on the social media pages and the message board at bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining our GWWE pay-per-view and TV match ever project. Get in on the conversation today and start researching your list. You have a great show on the Pop Feed, sir. We'll talk about that at the end of the show. Like that? Ooh, segue. So, there we go. Pop feed, wrestling feed, Jenny feed, all feeds. They're all great. All right. We're about to hit, Jason, a seminal year in horror, 1988. The reason I say that is because it is the first of back-to-back years that all three major horror franchises all had movies come out in the same year. Mm. We, of course, had Friday the 13th, Part 7, The New Blood.
Ah, Tina.
Tina. We'll get to Tina in a moment. Nightmare on Elm Street, Part 4, you said your beloved favorite, The Dream Master. And then, guess who came back? My guy. Straight from Haddonfield, baby. Michael Myers and Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers. All came out the same. By the way, also coming out that year was Phantasm 2 on a lesser scale, but that also came out in 1988. Mm. So now the horror, all three heavy hitters, Freddy, Jason, and Michael, all out at the same time. Triple threat match, baby. But I have to say, and I love Halloween 4. I love Halloween 4. I love Ellie Cornell. She's hot. And Donald Pleasance. Donald Pleasance. He's fucking everything. And I know you like the Dream Master. Yeah. I know you like Alice. But I'm going to be honest with you. I think of the three, the New Blood is the best of the three.
Well, the New Blood was my favorite Friday movie. Until I become to appreciate 6 more.
Right.
But I loved 7. Oh, God, I loved 7. And, like, I think I loved it even more, like, after seeing, like, how much the MPAA, like, butchered it. Because it could have been so much better. It should have been so much better. And it was the director, unfortunately, recently passed away. John Carl Buechler?
Oh, John Carl Buechler. Yes, yeah. John Carl Buechler. Yes, he did pass away.
I wrote the piece on him on the
PCNation.com. Good. No, it was excellent. And and he's a legendary guy. He made Masks, directed that. He directed some other stuff. No, it's rest in peace. He's in that rarefied air with Tom Savini and Greg Nicotero and that whole bunch of
I really wish I was able to meet him. That would have been an honor because I love this movie so much. But I feel like it's like this one and the next one, like the black sheep of the franchise. But I don't care. You know what? Listen, I don't give a fuck. I love these movies. I love them.
They're awesome. We're not ashamed.
Who doesn't? Rosero.
Oh, he's a wimp. Goes to like 4 movies a year. His wife calls the shots on the cinema.
Commando, a horror movie.
The Tooth Fairy. I saw The Tooth Fairy.
Well, that's anyway. A horror movie for another reason.
Exactly. I took my niece. Anyway,
I'll give you the game plan. I can't with The Tooth Fairy.
I know. Game plan's very good. Actually, do I have a game plan? I do. I have what was the other football movie?
Gridiron Gang.
The Gridiron Gang. I have that
one
on
DVD,
actually. I have that on DVD, actually. Anyway, as I do The Chaperone, and if you laugh, I'm hanging up on you. Anyway, all right, now we're really going across the hall. All right, so John Carl Buechler makes an incredible movie, and we finally get a heroine.
Oh, I thought you were going the Kane Hodder route.
Well, Kane Hodder's awesome.
Yeah.
But now we go down the heroine route for one that can actually give Jason a run for his money, that being, of course, the iconic Lar Park Lincoln, who played Tina.
Yes.
Tina is an empath, I guess you could say, I think that's the way it's termed. And she can, you know, do things with her mind. That bunch of counselors, they're not actually counselors. Now we passed the counselor part.
Yeah, no more counseling.
It's no, now it's drunken assholes at a house. I think my favorite death's probably Melissa because she's such a witch.
Yeah, she was not a pleasant person.
No, she wasn't. She had
like I mentioned before, the deaths in this one were very tame. But I'm surprised, sir. Because obviously, probably the best death in the franchise is the sleeping bag.
Yes, it is.
And also, honorable mention, I forgot her character, Maddie? That scream.
Yes.
In the shed. Holy shit.
That is Maddie. Yeah. She's like a little ugly duckling, and then she tries to turn into like a personal smoke show with her white heels. Yeah.
Yeah. And the earring that she lost.
But Terry Kaiser, who would go on to become me, although I think did we get a Bernie's already come out by then? I don't think so.
I thought it was like 89.
Yeah. He gets a good death. He gets a fucking, he gets the tree trimmer in the gut.
He was like, because I felt like that was a trope in all the films, but I guess it wasn't like that one guy you want to see get killed.
There was at least one in all of them.
You think so?
Yeah, depends on like you said in Final Chapter, Lawrence Ted was a fucking asshole and deserved to die.
Yeah,
there's a few other.
Who was it in Part 6? I guess her dad,
the sheriff.
He wasn't a bad guy.
No, he just was trying to go in the straight and narrow. I guess there wasn't one in every movie.
Yeah.
But
like, this is like the first one.
Yeah. He was the doctor that was trying to help Tina was actually exploiting her for his own personal gain. And in the end, he gets a tree trimmer in the gut.
Bad news, Cruz.
Yes. In the end, now Tina has issues because she thought she killed her father.
Yes.
By collapsing the dock when she was a child at Crystal Lake. So he's in the bottom of the lake. Now she goes out to the lake and tries to bring her father back with her powers, and instead she brings back another guy that's dead in the water lake, and that's Mr. Voorhees. Even though the motorboat blade ripped his fucking throat to shreds,
yep.
But it is Jason. He just kind of morphs, and that's when we first see again Kane Hodder, and we first see Jason like all like fucking you know like eroded, and you could see his spine and his. You know,
the makeup
and his ribs and everything. And yeah, he's just
top notch.
Yeah. What a job they did.
It's another level.
Yeah, it really is another level, right?
Ugh.
I mean, the job they do on Robert Englund is pretty good. Now, Michael Myers, he wears a mask, so he doesn't count. But the job they did on him for seven, eight and the rest.
You think eight?
I thought eight was pretty good.
Hmm. Because, like, if you look at 8, they, like, took away all the body stuff. Like, all the exposed spine. Like, that wasn't in her 8.
Did they give him a fresh, like jumpsuit?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess they did. All right.
He just looked wet the whole movie.
Yes. He does. He's always in the sewers. Well, he's not. We'll get to that in a minute. And in the end, Jason gets taken down back into the ocean by her father, who she does drum up. Again, that's a great one, part 7. I highly recommend that one.
I really enjoyed Nick in this movie too. I thought he was a fun like
boyfriend.
Yeah, love interest to the main heroine. And I remember they always like tried to peg this movie as Jason versus Carrie. Because of her power.
That's actually a good analogy. Yeah. And Laura Park Lincoln.
Oh, I love her. Oh,
I love her too. She's actually on you know what, Jason, if you want to really be sad, throw on that one and put on the commentary because it's Buechler.
Yeah, I heard it.
I've listened to that now one. Hers is spliced in. I guess they couldn't do it at the same time, so they kind of interspersed the two of them. And I watched that one the other night, actually, again, with the commentary. It's really good.
Yeah, I remember I haven't seen it with the Blu-ray, but when I had the DVD, it was just John Carl and Kane.
Yeah, for the Blu-ray, they put in, Lar Park did commentary, and they kind of, like, spliced it in between them.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it's good. It's really good. She's fantastic, as is the two of them.
Yeah.
So definitely check that one out if you guys...
Well, I love Kane. Kane's awesome.
He is great.
Surprisingly short.
Yes, it is only. Bring it up. It is only. I think it's 82 minutes. I think.
No, I meant Kane. Kane, his height.
Oh, Kane is short. I thought you meant the movie.
They're all like 80, 90 minutes.
Yeah, typical horror length.
You can watch like 3 of these movies in the time it would take you to watch Endgame.
He's 64. He's 64 right now.
Of his age?
Yeah.
Huh.
He's 64.
What's his height?
Does it say how tall he is? I feel like
I'm taller than him.
He had to wear lifts, didn't he? Wasn't that a big thing?
Well, I know when they were shooting like specific scenes with him, like because of his height being as short as he is, like they would like if they were he was chasing down a person, they would like shoot the person from above and shoot him from below, so it looks like he's physically imposing the person he's chasing, even though he's probably the same height as them. I remember that. I remember watching that in the dock.
Oh, okay.
Because most Jasons are like 6'4" and above, but I think he's like 6'1" or 6'2", like my height.
Interesting.
I mean, which That's is not short, height, but
yeah,
he's not.
Yes, that is true. The magic of cameras.
Yeah, Derek Peters like towered over me.
Yes, I know. So the following year, 1989, they did it again. And unlike 88, where all three installments are really good, all three of these installments are probably not a good reason to do movies in back-to-back years. We had Halloween 5, The Revenge of Michael Myers, which was rushed and not good. We had A Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The Dream Child, which is a confusing pile of shit. And we have Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. Jason is on Crystal Lake. A boat somehow gets there, a big fucking boat. And then in the end, well, not in the end, but eventually Jason hooks up with a ship of high school seniors who are going on a field trip to Manhattan. He gets on the boat, kills everybody. I think the guitar death is – well, the best death is the one on the roof with the
– oh, Julius?
Yeah, Julius. He punches his fucking head off. That's actually pretty awesome. New York City, which they were only in for like 15 minutes because it was too expensive, and the other 80 minutes of the movie was in Vancouver.
You know, and that's why I feel so bad about this film in particular, because like if you watch the doc Crystal Lake Memories, which is brilliant if you haven't seen it.
It is. It's on Shudder. If you don't own it, it's on Shudder. So by the way, that and Never Sleep Again.
That one's great
are
too.
Are both on Shudder. Yeah, they're both on Shudder.
Like you can see like the scenes that were written for like Madison Square Garden, Empire State Building, various other like, you know, New York locations.
Right.
And Paramount's just like, no, that's not going to happen. Right. So it's on the film studio for like making us think that this was going to be all like in New York and naming it Jason Takes Manhattan when what he's filmed one scene in Times Square and that was it.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, again, a good hunk of the movie is on that boat.
Supposedly it should have been called Jason Takes Vancouver. Or Jason takes the cruise ship.
A party barge. Yeah, Jason takes a party barge. Kane Hodder's awesome.
Yes, he's awesome.
The bad guy, the uncle who's the teacher, the fuck is his name? I know. He's a good bad guy, though. Great actor, though. Peter Mark Richman.
Yeah.
By the way, Jensen Daggett.
Yep.
Smoke show.
Yeah. I liked Kelly Hu.
Was she the guitar girl?
No. Kelly Hu. Do you know who she is? She was in Scorpion King. And she was in X-Men 2. She was Lady Deathstrike. She was the one who got choked out.
Yeah.
She got choked out in the dance hall on the boat.
Yeah, she was Chyna White on Arrow.
Yes.
All right, so I know.
I got to meet her, and I have this awesome Friday the 13th poster signed by like 50 or so cast members, and she's like, "Oh my god, this is awesome! This is the first film I ever did." She was so excited about talking about that film with me. So yeah, she was great.
That's awesome.
So, ton of fun little facts about this movie besides Kelly Hu. Do you know the movie Fear?
Yeah, with Mark Wahlberg.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Is that Reese Witherspoon?
Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that movie. I have like an unhealthy obsession with that movie. Do you remember the friend that gets his neck broken by Mark Wahlberg, Gary?
Yes, vaguely. Yeah.
He is Jim, the first victim of this film.
Really? Todd Haldicott?
Yep.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Look at that. Now he's a clinical herbalist. You know what that means.
Yeah, he played the Jim in this movie, and he went on to play Gary in Fear, which is a movie I love. And also, another fun fact, do you remember when Jason walks into the diner? And everyone's like, oh, shit. And that huge, massive chef comes up from behind the corner. Jason picks him up and throws him into the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up playing Jason in Freddy vs. Jason.
Oh.
Ken Kurzinger.
Yes. That's funny. Look at you. I like a guy who's prepared. That's awesome. Well done.
He's massive too. He's like 6'8".
Yeah, he's a big dude. He's legitimately big. And that was good for that movie, which we'll get to in a minute.
Yes.
That movie that he was in. We needed Jason to be big. So this one really bombed. Yeah, this movie really bombed. $5.5 million it took. It was also 100 minutes. It was one of the longer Fridays. And it only made 14.3. So it barely made, it didn't even make 10 million.
Yeah.
So this was the first Friday the 13th that not only sucked creatively, but sucked money-wise too.
Well, I have a question for you, Scott.
Sure.
If they were able to do the scenes in like the Madison Square Gardens.
Then it would have been better. Oh, no, of course
it would have made more money.
Yeah, it would have easily.
Okay.
Easily. And if the city of New York didn't get so pissed, or the state of New York didn't get so pissed off at the original trailer poster.
Isle of New York.
Yeah, of Jason's ripping through the Isle of New York poster. I think they got a little too uber sensitive about it. Yeah.
I'd love to mention how much I love the cheesy 80s song. That was bumper music in the beginning and the end of the film.
Yeah.
I love that. It's so cheesy in 80s, but it's great.
Now, let me ask you this.
What's that?
Is Jason Takes Manhattan the best of the worst, the middle of the worst, or the worst of the worst? Is it worse than The Dream Child?
Oh, are you talking about the movies that came out that year?
Yeah. Nightmare 5, Halloween 5, and Friday 8. What was the worst?
The worst one is Dream Child.
Yeah,
I hated it.
I have an analogy, and I said this on another podcast, which you'll hear on Halloween. I had said that the problem with, and I'll make we'll go off the because I'm curious your thoughts on this. We'll get off the highway for a minute. The problem with the Nightmare franchise in general, unlike of the Friday and Halloween, where your killer's behind a mask, Freddy is the personality of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So you can scale back on. I mean, you're not paying Kane Hodder or the people that have played Michael through all of the Halloweens. You're not paying them uber money. Like Kane Hodder probably gets paid pretty well, but he's not getting paid like the actors are getting paid. I'm sure he gets paid okay. Robert Englund is the highest paid guy in all of the Friday movie and all of the Nightmare movies. No doubt about it. Doubt about it. So the problem is when you combine Robert Englund's salary with all the effects, you really don't have a lot of money to get suitable actors. And no disrespect to Lisa Wilcox or all the actors.
She's so pretty though.
She's very pretty. But
and I like the guy who plays the jock. I can't remember it. Danny Hassel's his real name.
Dan.
Funny. Dan. It's his real name's Danny.
I know. Yeah, Dan.
He's so bad.
He really is.
I mean, I like him. I thought he was fine, but his acting is
bad. The problem is
laughable.
Nightmare is the most cerebral of the three overarching storylines.
Correct.
So it needs good acting, and it just didn't. Four, I watched it last night. Just last night, I watched Nightmare 4. And it's not great. Just my opinion. I know you like it. It's not one of my favorites, but it's not as bad as I thought it was, as I remember.
There's just so many things I liked about it. I like her.
Fucking horrible.
Yeah. Well, I liked her getting all the powers.
Yes. I was sad when Christy died. Yes, her brother was great. I like that actor. He's good.
Yeah.
And the girl, the jock girl, the tough girl that got the cockroach arms. Yeah, she was awesome. Yeah. But the guy Dan is fucking horrendous.
Yeah, he's really
good. And the girl that replaced Patricia Arquette is terrible.
Oh, well, yeah. Tuesday night.
Thank God she's only in it for like 25 minutes.
Yeah. No, but I really like.
But what the fuck was that?
I really like that whole scene with that song. I think it's Bananarama. No, that's not right. But anyway, that song that plays with the karate guy, the brother.
Oh,
I really love that song.
Yeah.
It's called Anything, Anything.
Anything. Can't remember that.
Drumarama? Something.
I'll have to look after the show.
Yeah.
So in any event, I think it's evident that Jason Takes Manhattan is probably the best of the worst. Yeah. Halloween 5 could have really been good if it wasn't rushed.
Yeah, there was a lot of things I liked about Halloween 5. But there was also things, a lot of things I didn't like. I really liked Tamara Glynn. She's the blonde.
Yes. Yeah, she's okay.
She was pretty.
She's okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, Danielle Harris is fucking great, and Donald Pleasance is great, and Bo Starr played Sheriff Meeker. He's cool too. But the girl that plays what's her name? Oh, God, the annoying one with the dark hair. Oh, the fuck is her name? You know the annoying one. She's dressed like
I can't remember her name. Her.
She got hit by a car during production, but anyway, she's terrible. All right. So the decade of the '80s ends. Now things have changed. Jason takes a few years off. Halloween takes 6 years off. And Freddy, I think Wes Craven and the New Line people decide, I think it's time for Freddy to finish up as well. So in 1991, we get Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare, which the first half of that movie is unwatchable. And then when it gets to 3D, it's actually halfway decent.
But hold on. I did enjoy Breckin Meyer's death in that movie.
Yes, his death was pretty good.
He went on to be something. That's kind of
yes,
cool.
He did.
I like him a lot, actually.
Yes. No, his
the video game death. That was kind of
fun. The video game death is very good. You are quite right. So in 1991, we lose Nightmare on Elm Street ends. Now, here, sir, is where the chatter begins about a possible world heavyweight title match, if you will, between Mr. Voorhees and Mr. Krueger. Michael Myers, you really couldn't get in this equation because Michael has a pointed goal to kill the Strokes.
He's an arc.
Yeah, he has an arc that you really can't dive out of. Like Jason, Michael Myers isn't just going to kill random dudes. He killed people that were in his way to get to Jamie or Laurie or his main goal. After a while, Jason just killed people that were near the lake, and Freddy just killed because he felt like it. So Paramount, New Line, and Dimension, and fucking, what's the other company? Miramax and all that bullshit. All that crap went down. In the end, we didn't get it. So in 1993, we get Jason Goes to Hell. This movie is unwatchable. Unwatchable. It makes no fucking sense whatsoever. Now we're dealing with Jason's essence. Are you fucking for real? And then the killer is the bad guy promoter in Rocky V. I mean, really? I mean, come on.
And I hate saying it because the director's a really nice person. I hate saying it. It is hands down the worst one of the franchise.
Yep.
Why try to fix something that's not broken?
Right.
I'll never understand. Like,
yeah, me either.
Where did this Voorhees family come from, first of all, that we've never heard of?
I know, right?
These other movies. Eating his heart?
Yeah.
I mean, what?
it's garbage.
Of the kills are okay.
I do like when he's talking. I do like when Jason's in like the it's Jason, by the way, the official title is Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday. Sorry, I don't want to disrespect it. By the way, the unrated cut was 2 extra minutes. Should have been like 20 less. on a budget of $3 million, it made 15.9. So it made a little money.
Sure.
But God knows why.
The one chick who got cut in half. That was kind of awesome.
Yes.
I did like Creighton Duke, though. I thought he was a fun character.
He was tremendous. He is tremendous.
Steve Williams from 21 Jump Street.
From 21 Jump Street, yes. Good character. Bad movie.
Yeah. Oh, I can't even fathom why anyone thought that this was a good idea. Like, didn't the book from Evil Dead make an appearance in it, too?
Yes, it did.
Why?
Doesn't help matters.
Why?
The big deal at the end, the big deal at the end, of course, that Jason's, at the end of the movie, Jason's mask is sitting in like a desert or something. And then all of a sudden, Freddy's gloved hand comes up out of the dirt and grabs the mask.
Yep.
And then we're left with nothing. And then we're left with nothing.
For
year. So Freddy's on a hiatus. Jason's on a hiatus because they don't know what else to do. Mm-hmm. The following year, and we mentioned it earlier, the Nightmare franchise officially ends with Wes Craven's New Nightmare, which is kind of like the 90210 reboot, where it's Heather Langenkamp and not Nancy Thompson. But having Heather back was awesome. And I love that movie, by the way.
Yeah,
love
great.
That movie. Tremendous film. Halloween takes over the brunt of the rest of the decade. So Jason and Freddy take a step back, and Michael takes up the rest of the decade.
He had two more.
Yeah, three more. Well, yeah, two more, yes, because the other one came out in 02, yeah.
Yeah.
In 1995, we had Halloween 6, The Curse of Michael Myers, which is its own podcast because it had, like, you know, 3 billion fucking rewrites and a zillion reshoots, and the movie's a fucking disaster.
And, of course, Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd is Tommy Wallace. Now, if you own, and I'm not sure if you do, Mr. Sherman, if you own the special edition Scream Factory 15 movie box set of Halloween.
I don't.
It's a small fortune, my friend. I feel bad for you.
I know. I own great each set. One individually, but I don't have the box.
I got lucky because I got it the one year that everybody worked together to put a nice box set together. I got it. I had a gift card and some Place to Be Nation scratch. Thanks, Brad. And got it for a decent price. But on
it's like
version of Halloween 6, you actually can watch Daniel Farren's cut, the producer's cut, which is 100 times better than the theatrical cut is a goddamn mess. The producer's cut is 100 times better. It's still not great, but it doesn't suck as bad as the other one did. Of course, sadly, during shooting, we lost Donald Pleasance.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know if it was heart failure or cancer, one or the other. In early 1995, we lost pretty much the soul of the Halloween franchise, which is very sad. So 3 years pass, and then we get Halloween H2O.
I love that one.
Halloween H2O is a great movie. Jamie Lee's back.
I love it.
We get Josh Hartnett and Michelle Williams.
Jen Lindley from Dawson's Creek.
Yes, yes. There's
if anyone knows anything about me, I love me some Dawson's Creek.
That's right. That's right. There you go. You and there you go. There's your Justin podcast debut. You guys get nostalgic.
I've been trying to get him to do one for years. I'm all for it.
Yeah. So we end the decade with that. But Mr. Voorhees will not go gentle into that good night. In 2001, we get, instead of the anticipated Hogan versus Andre or Austin versus Rock of slashers, we get Bigelow versus LT of slashers, Jason X. Jason in space. Jason becomes Wolverine, pretty much, adamantium.
So, I don't hate this movie.
I don't either. I don't hate Bigelow and LT either. It's really not that bad. It's at least it acknowledges that it's kind of a shit show.
I mean, it's not good.
It's not good at all. But it's at least
better
humorously
than, I have it better than three other ones.
Yeah.
Personally.
It's better than Jason Goes to Hell, that's for sure.
Yeah, I have it above that. I have it above part 5, and I have it above part 3.
The best death in that movie is, of course, what's-her-face gets her face frozen and then smashed into the table. That was pretty awesome.
So I do love that. But I also love the guy who gets thrown on that screw thing.
Oh, yes!
And they try to ask like where he is, and someone answers on the walkie. Oh, he's screwed right now. I love cheesy shit like that. That was fun too. But yeah, of course that cryogenic freezing of her face. She was gorgeous.
She was gorgeous too. Oof. Yeah. 445 years later.
Yeah.
After the beginning, and Kane Hodder returns. Jim Isaacs, the director.
He passed away too, actually.
Yes. Sean actually came back to produce along with his son Noel, and Harry Manfredini did the music again. So.
He's great. I love that guy. I love his music. I love that guy. He's great. There's a lot about this movie I really like. I loved the nerdy guy with the robot girl. I thought he was fantastic.
Yes. You had Brathwaite Lowe and his android. That's KM14.
Yes. He's the one who's like, it's a hockey mask.
Yeah.
He was fun.
Yes. And of course, that pretty much ends things for now. Well, it ends the franchise proper.
Yeah.
The following year, 2002.
Well, hold on. Before we go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I have a quick question for you.
Sure.
Do you think this movie was a mistake?
No.
You think it should have come out when it did?
Sure. It came out in Spain 2 months before 9/11. Not that that really matters per se, because this doesn't have anything that's offensive to 9/11. Well, maybe, I mean, it depends on your point of view of all of, you know, Earth collapsing and that kind of thing. And then in April of 2002, it came out in New York and L.A. Now, at this point, this is a big thing, Jason.
Yes.
New Line is distributing Friday now.
Yeah.
Paramount sold it. So what does that mean?
Well, that's what I'm saying, is I think they should have waited on this.
Oh, so you think skip this altogether?
Correct.
Just go on to the next.
Correct. The next
thing. All right.
Because I think that's, this may have point. Tainted people.
Maybe. Maybe.
Because a lot of people, like I, like you and I are different cases. I think we'll like these movies regardless.
Yes, we will.
But I always general public.
We always find something good about a horror movie.
For the like most part. Everyone I know who's kind of like, kind of silly about the, like, thinks these movies are kind of silly. Like, look at this one. Like, oh, he's in space. This is fucking stupid. I mean, right, exactly. Sure, it is. But if you watch it, it's generally a Friday the 13th film. Just like on a spaceship instead of by a lake. This is more of a Friday the 13th film than Jason Goes to Hell.
Yes. Yes, it is.
This is more of a Friday the 13th film than Part 5. Which wasn't Jason at all.
Yes. Because it's actually just Jason.
It's just Jason killing in a different area, in a different time.
Yep.
And I think people look at it as being silly because he's in space. I mean, granted, it's not great, but this isn't like fucking Leprechaun in space, you know?
I love that! That is tremendous!
This is just Jason, you know, an Uber Jason's kind of boss.
Yes, it's Wolverine Jason with adamantium on the outside.
And actually, before, maybe just go on a quick tangent here.
Sure.
The video game.
Mm-hmm.
There is supposed to be a map of the space station with Uber Jason being involved, but with all the lawsuits going on, with the writing and everything with the video game not nixed, and they're not making any more new content for it, but this was the next thing they were going to make for the video game. And I'm so mad that it's not coming through, because that would have been awesome to have Uber Jason and to be able to play on the spaceship in the game. But that's not going to happen now, unfortunately.
Mm. By the time we got to the 2000s, horror had changed in general.
Yeah.
The franchises started to – in 2002, we had Halloween Resurrection, which was – I didn't like what Jamie Lee Curtis's character – I don't like the way Laurie Strode ended. Thank God we did reboot that down the line.
Yeah,
and Busta Rhymes thinking he could beat the shit out of Michael is fucking stupid. So
I liked it. I thought it was fun.
Oh, please. He's doing kicks to Michael fucking Myers. Oh, come on.
I mean, that was stupid, but like the overall, like he, you know, like him killing, like, you know, the guy from American Pie and Sean Patrick Thomas. That was fun. The Busta Rhymes was stupid, and them killing Jamie Lee Curtis was stupid, but overall I thought the movie was
fine.
It was fine.
But now we're getting to the big one. With New Line and all the stars were aligned. Indeed, in 2003, we finally got what we wanted. August 15th, 2003, we got Freddy versus Jason. I love this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. It ends in a stalemate to a certain extent. And I think it was written and made for Jason to be the babyface.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is where we get pure villain versus anti-hero. And this is where, going back to what you and I talked about earlier, about Jason not totally being a pure villain, he is a almost, well, I mean, he is too, obviously, but there was reasons, and he is almost an anti-hero because he was bullied. So he's like the bullied serial killer. And Freddy thinks he's a big dumb oaf who can be used as a tool of destruction.
Correct.
First off, hot take, Kelly Rowland is hotter than Beyonce. Just saying. I always thought Kelly Rowland was the hottest of Destiny's Child.
See, I thought it was Michelle Williams personally.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, then you and I actually do agree that Beyonce is not the hottest. All right, good. John Ritter's kid's in it. I don't think this movie's bad. I mean, could it have been better? I mean, Ronnie Yu, who directed it, he did the best he could. I don't think he was terrible in it. He made a bad movie. I thought he made a pretty good movie.
I mean, I have issues with some of the things. Like, I like Blood as much as everyone else, but it was a bit much.
Well, it had the highest budget, $30 million, which is an average of like $25 million more than either of them get.
Correct.
But it made $115 million. So we all did go. So did you see the movies?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. 100%.
Like, by the time Jason Goes to Hell was in theaters, I think I was 11 when that came out in theaters. I saw that, Jason X, and I've seen everyone since then in theaters.
I was in college when Jason Goes to Hell came out, and I want my mic.
Okay.
I think I was wrong. But anyway.
I really liked the nerd kid in this one.
Yep.
He was probably my favorite character. I liked Jason Ritter's buddy. The one who got killed by Freddy.
Yep.
In the mental institution. He was fun. I was annoyed by the fake Jay of Jay and Silent Bob.
Yep.
I did like the cop. He's a great character actor in a ton of stuff. His name is Lachlan Monroe.
Yes.
He's great.
He's in a ton of
stuff. Yes. Yeah, he's a ton of stuff. He's actually in Riverdale. Right now.
Yes. He's also been in
Dead Man on Campus, if you've ever seen that.
He was at Night of the Roxbury. He was in Scary Movie.
Yes, Scary Movie. He played the Ryan Phillippe character.
Yes.
But if you've seen Dead Man on Campus, that's top notch. Lachlan Monroe right there.
He's 53.
Yeah, he's old.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of my favorite kill of that movie, but I don't know if I have one. I guess the
I don't
guy
think I have
being
one
folded
either.
Up in the bed, the dickhead.
Yeah.
That was kind of fun. And his girlfriend was gorgeous, too.
Did the actual fight at the end, did it live up to its expectations?
I guess it was what I expected. It didn't live up to or let me
down. I mean,
down.
It was going
to
end in a draw.
Exactly.
Obviously.
Exactly. It's just the over-the-top nature of the blood just... out of their bodies.
I know.
That's the only thing that kind of all right.
Yeah.
But the fight itself was fine.
I agree. I thought it served its purpose. It was about as good as we were going to get. We weren't going to get a sequel.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm glad we didn't.
I mean, considering New Line put it out, I'm surprised they didn't make Freddy dominate.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. One thing that really annoyed me is I guess when they were in the dream sequence, and then like Jason like was about to like hit someone with a machete, and then like the water came down, like all of a sudden he's terrified of water.
Yeah.
My bro, you've killed people in water. What I know. Is happening right now?
I know you died twice in it, but that was like way long ago.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. That kind of bothered me a little bit. Oh, one thing we didn't touch on in part eight, the ending of part eight.
When he melted in the sewer, yes.
Yeah, I mean, and then reverted back to his child form.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they. I just think they didn't. They couldn't think of anything else. That and bringing it back to his kid form, I think, was almost like going full circle. Maybe at that point they didn't know if there was going to be a part nine or whatever. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, because that was the end of Paramount involvement.
Yep, that was Paramount's finish. Yep, they were done at that point.
Anyway,
all right.
Back to Freddy Jason.
So the franchise is over. Both are done. We'll never see Robert Englund again. We'll never see Kane Hodder again.
Correct. But we didn't see Kane Hodder there.
We didn't see him there. He was he was a security guard. No,
that was in Jason Goes to Hell.
That was in Jason Goes to Hell. Fucked
up. Was Ken Kersinger in
as Jason. Yes.
Oh, also quick honorable mention to that scene where Jason just goes ham on that party.
Yes.
Jesus.
My God. That like, fucking rave in the fucking cornfield.
Killed that, Jesus the Christ. Raver kid. And then, like, the bloody machete through the guy's chest, and he just, oh, man, he goes to town.
Yeah, it might have been his most gratifying murders in his history. Yes, I agree with that.
Like, we've never seen that happen.
No.
Like, him just go crazy like that, go
he went batshit. It was like Vader at the end of Rogue One, when he just fucking just kills rebels all over the fucking place.
Exactly.
Indiscriminate murder. So, anyway. So between now, so for the time being, Jason and Freddy proper are gone. So Jason's gone for now.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Rob Zombie re-energizes the Halloween franchise with a pair of films. He does the first one in 2007 and then Halloween 2 in 2009. I vowed never to see them, but they are in that box set. I don't hate the first one as much as I thought I would, but I fucking despise the second one. So
I'm with you exactly 100%. I actually like the first one. The second one is probably the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. And not to go on a Rob Zombie tangent, I recently watched 31 and Lords of Salem, and garbage.
I wanted to see Lords of Salem. Thank you for telling me not to.
Don't. One of the worst, like, Lords of Salem, I think, made Halloween 2 look good.
Oof.
Yeah.
Because the two things bother me about Halloween 2. Number one,
I want to see. Okay.
And number two, I love Malcolm McDowell, but why do they make Dr. Loomis a fucking douchebag?
So here are the two things I hate about Halloween 2. Bringing his wife back, who's terrible. Terrible actress. Mm-hmm. And two, why was the white horse? I mean, what?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, anyway.
But anyway, to wrap up, we now go ahead to 2009, the same year that dreadful Halloween 2 came out.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? We get a Friday the 13th reboot.
We did.
And it came out in 2009.
February, if I'm not
mistaken. February 13th, to be exact.
Yeah, I had trouble convincing my girlfriend at the time to see that Valentine's Day weekend.
Yeah, Mr. Sherman, probably not the best option.
Oh, well, I did it because she knows how much I love the series.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
I have it on Blu-ray. It's here in Studio B. It's on the shelf. I got to be honest with you. I didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it either. There's things I hated about it.
Yes.
But I didn't hate it.
Like, yeah, I didn't hate it.
His underground lair.
Yeah, that was that's not Jason-y. Correct. A lair. Jason's not supposed to have a lair. He just walks around aimlessly in the woods. He doesn't have a lair.
I didn't like his like his athletic ability in this one. Like he's like an Olympian, like
I know.
Running and archery.
Yeah, he's too good. Exactly. He's too good for his own good. Yeah.
Also, the main thing I had with this movie is normally the good, you know, virginal girl survives.
Mm-hmm.
And they kill her in this, and it bothered the fuck out of me.
Yes.
When they killed Danielle Panabaker, who if you've heard my podcast with Jennifer Smith, know that I love me some Danielle Panabaker.
Wow. She's awesome.
She's probably my favorite female in any of these films.
Yeah. No, she's awesome. And, of course, she's a killer.
But surprisingly fun cast.
Well, you have Jared Padalecki, who, of course, is one half of Supernatural. You have Ben Feldman, who is currently
that's who I was going on Superstore.
And on Superstore.
Love Travis Van Winkle.
Yes, I do as well. I think Derek Mears is a good Jason.
He's great.
Even though he's, you know, fucking Carl Lewis, you know.
Yeah, well, it's not his fault.
Jesus, or you know, doped up Ben Johnson. I don't know what the deal is, but my God. Like, ripping trees out and shit. It was... The philosophy of Jason was wrong.
Correct.
He doesn't. He's not crazy athletic. He doesn't run around. He doesn't have a lair. No, that's not Jason. Jason's just a blunt force object that walks real slow, sneaks up behind you, and fucking kills you. He doesn't come at you with like javelins and shit. Like that just doesn't. That's the only part that didn't. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, it's kind of and setting traps and stuff like that was kind of weird too. You know, like how he caught a couple people in like bear traps.
Yes, yeah, that
and
was.
He kind of tortured that girl hanging over the fire. That was kind of weird too. That's not very Jason Voorhees to
no,
torture.
No, it's not. People. He just ends you.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, he may like stalk and kind of creep you out, but he doesn't like physically like torture. It's like you're dead and that's it. He doesn't like you know keep and he doesn't keep hostages.
That too. It just none of it made sense in that aspect. Correct. None of it made sense.
Do you look at this as like a reboot or a remake?
I would call it almost a reimagining.
I consider it like a mishmash of parts 2, 3, and 4 in 1.
Yeah. Now don't forget also first coming had out. The... Yeah, and also coming out around this time in terms of reboots was. The remake of one of the few of Texas Chainsaw Massacre came out in 2003. And then 2005 was the remake of another great horror franchise, although the first one's really the best. The rest are all kind of the Amityville Horror. Of course,
Ryan Reynolds.
Of course, that would start Ryan Reynolds. The original is great, though, with James Brolin and Margot Kidder.
I didn't hate it.
Which one? The remake?
One, yeah, I didn't hate it.
No, I didn't either.
I liked him.
I thought him and James Brolin... Their characters almost mirrored each other. I don't think Ryan Reynolds went off the rails on that one. Not at all. Not at all. So if you've never seen, for those listening, all of you, thank you. If you've never seen it, check it out. I don't know if it's streaming anywhere.
It was recently on Netflix, but it's been a while since I've looked, so I'm not sure.
Yeah. I got the Blu-ray pretty cheap. I think I got it on eBay for like
I have a Blu-ray triple 3-pack. It's the Friday reboot, the Nightmare on Elm Street reboot.
and Freddy vs. Jason?
Yeah.
I've seen that triple.
I have that. I got it for like 10 bucks.
As Jason mentioned, a year later, we won't get into this one too deep because we'll do a Freddy one day. But in 2010, they rebooted Nightmare with Jack Earl Haley as Freddy Krueger. He was good. He was good. But Freddy is a child killer. You don't turn him into a child molester. That was weird.
I think they just really tried to make Freddy a villain as opposed to like the jokester that Robert Englund. Yeah. They tried to
distance.
Yeah, no, I was going to say but I was whatever, it doesn't matter.
Disavow.
I know away from
jokey Freddy and exactly. Make him back to like Freddy in the first one. Yes,
exactly.
But make him more creepy. But making him like a molester, I didn't like that.
Who's the lead in that?
Who's the lead in that? Is
Rooney Mara?
Let me double check.
I want to say it was Rooney Mara, who's done a ton of stuff.
It's Jackie Earle Haley, Kyle Gallner, Rooney Mara, Katie Cassidy, who was, of course, Black Canary on Arrow. But yeah, it is Rooney Mara.
I really liked the guy, Kyle Gallner. He was good.
Who plays the mom?
Oh, she was some. Oh, it's from Friday Night Lights.
Oh, it's Connie Britton.
Yeah,
she's hot.
Yeah.
she's awesome. Anyway, we'll get more into Freddy down the line. So we never got a second Friday. So right now, Jason's pretty much, I guess, done.
Yeah, the lawsuit and everything right now, I think there's been so many ideas I've heard. Like, there's supposed to be, like, a TV show based around, like, just Crystal Lake.
Well, there was the Friday the 13th series.
Yeah, that's nothing to do
with it. In the 80s, which had nothing to do with it. Neither did Freddy's Nightmares have anything to do with him either. So.
Well, he was in it, though. At least he had
it. He was in, like, the end. Like, he would be in the open.
Yeah.
He would, like, you know.
Appear.
Kind of appear to introduce this. And he'd be in it a little bit, but.
You never had Jason in the
Resident
Evil series. The only time was like, I think the main actor was in that terrible Jason Goes to Hell movie.
Yes.
John, he was. Whatever.
Yeah, he was.
I honestly never watched the series because I knew it.
I watched it dribs and drabs. I mean, I was, you know, it was the 80s.
It was like syndication, right? Like Star Trek.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was syndication. Yep. The set's pretty cheap if you want to get it. It's on Amazon for like $22 or something. All right, Jason. So in the grand scheme of things, where's Jason lie in the legacy of horror as a genre?
For me personally, it's number one. It's not even number one of the bullet. It's not even close. I love that franchise so much. Like, if I'm looking over my thing right now, I have like a Jason Voorhees pop vinyl and a Jason Voorhees snow globe. You know, I'm
nice. That's excellent.
Yeah, I got it at Spencer's years ago. Like, it was on super clearance. Now, if I wanted to sell, like, it's up for like $200, but I don't want it because I love it so much.
Never.
Like, I'm obsessed with Friday the 13th. Obsessed. Like, I went to Halloween Horror Nights 25. They had a Freddy vs. Jason house. Like, as soon as I walked in, that was the first house I went to. It was the last house I went to. It's an obsession.
We'll get down there one day. I do want to go to Hollywood Horror.
Should have gone this year with the Universal Monsters House.
I know. I really wanted to. It sucks because I'm all in on that right now, as everyone knows.
Yeah. And the Ghostbusters House is, as you can hear on my show.
Yes.
You plug.
Oh, you'll get to plug. Don't worry. So, Jason Voorhees, thank you for your participation and your influence on horror in the last, you know, 30 years, 40 years almost.
Made the hockey mask iconic.
Yep. Freak out. Now people just wear hockey masks, and it's frightening enough. Jason Sherman, where can everyone find you? Tell us about your show here on the Pop Feed.
Well, my show is called PTBNE Ticket Attraction, and it's a focus on theme parks, mostly Disney, Universal in Florida. My last episode dropped a few weeks ago, where me and Andy Atherton talk about Universal Studios Florida, and me and my friend Starla discuss this year's Halloween Horror Nights, which wraps up in about 2 weeks. I think there's two more weeks of the event. And coming up, I do have that interview with the actor named Jason Ryan Perry, who portrayed Ted Theodore Logan in Bill and Ted's Excellent Halloween Adventure at Halloween Horror Nights. Coming up soon, working on scheduling, but that will be coming soon. As far as finding me, I'm on Instagram, Twitter, PTBNETA. And yeah, that's about it.
Check it out, everyone. Tremendous show. Well, there you go, man. You got it done. You survived the first one with me. You did a great job. And I'll have you back on again down the line, because we're going to do more great horror together.
Awesome. I love it.
Check out Place Me Nation Pop Feed for Jason's show and all of the great stuff we do there. And there'll be one more big show dropping on Halloween. I will not say anything. You'll have to be surprised to hear it. And if you're listening to this show after that, then you may have already heard it. But it's pretty awesome. Thank you, Jason. And yes, Freddie. And yes, Michael. Trust me, Halloween is my franchise. It will get its own platform. But I wanted to have Jason on. I wanted to talk about his guy. So, and I love Jason, too. I'm not saying I don't. I love Jason. But Michael's always been my favorite. As troubled as that franchise has been, even more so than Friday the 13th, Halloween will always be my franchise. And I love John Carpenter. So we will we'll talk about that down the line. Anyway, happy Halloween. And stay with the pop feed. Stay with the wrestling feed. Stay with the Jenny position. Feeds everywhere. Podcasts just for the rest of your life. Music. TV. Roller coasters. I'm old. Space Mountain still rules. For Jason Churiman, I am Scott Criscolo. Don't walk in the woods by yourself. Don't have sex in houses that don't have lights. And
no drugs.
No drugs. And stay out of the lake. Have fun.